the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Welcome to episode number 26 of the School of Podcasting's morning announcements, the official podcast of theschoolofpodcasting.com. I'm your host, Dave Jackson. To subscribe to this podcast, simply go out to schoolofpodcasting.net. If you'd like to send me an email, it's schoolofpodcasting@gmail.com. If you'd like to drop me a voicemail, I'll pick up the tab. It's 888-563-3228. Now, on the show today, we've got one quick tip or insight about the wacky DJ voice. And we're going to be talking to Paul Hollows of FeedBlitz. Now, FeedBlitz is a system that allows you to promote your podcast, your RSS feed, via email. And I know what you're thinking, but wait a minute, isn't RSS the whole really stop spam and, you know, the fact that, hey, the listener can pull the information to them as opposed to, you know, pushing the information to them and things like that? Well, Paul talks about deliverability and things of that nature, but keep in mind, email is part of our culture at this point. I mean, if you don't think so, go on vacation without a laptop. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I jones if I don't get to check my email at least once a day. It's important to me. And so there are a lot of people that may not get RSS. They may not know how to add your feed to, you know, iTunes. They may want to get notified on their BlackBerry. You know, there's all sorts of reasons why people may be, you know, they want to get notified via email about your blog or your podcast. Well, that's where FeedBlitz comes in. And FeedBlitz is a free service. They do have some additional features if you want to pay for them, but you can sign up for free if you want to kick the tires and take it for a test run. So we'll be talking to Paul about FeedBlitz. But before we get to Paul, I want to give you a quick tip, and that is, over the last couple weeks, I've had a couple people talk about podcasting and starting a podcast, and they go, yeah, but, you know, I just don't have the voice for it. I don't have that DJ voice. I was talking to Ray today on the phone. Ray said, you know, I'd recognize that voice. You got that great DJ voice. And I'm like, it's just the way I talk. You know, it's not like, I mean, if I want to make my voice really deep, I can go even deeper. You know, that's what I sound like in the morning. If you go back to, I think it's show number 2 or 3, I have a show called Stupid Human Tricks, and I talk about that. If you really want a deep voice, podcast, first thing out of bed. And but here's the thing. Number one, you know, a lot of listeners, we talked about the listeners and normal terrestrial radio. One of the reasons they're so turned off and why podcasting is catching on is because we're not talking like this, everybody. Hey, how's it going? It's 7:22 on a Saturday night here. Getting ready to do the pot. And who talks like that? You know? So I remember I met somebody in California. His name is Dr. Dave. And Dr. Dave has a very unique voice. It's not the deep DJ voice. But nobody else sounds like Dr. Dave. And that's my point. Nobody else sounds like you. Oh, by the way, Dr. Dave is now part of the Pod Show family. Okay? So don't get hung up if you don't sound like the morning zoo guy. You sound like you, and that's, you know what, that is a plus. It's not a negative. So keep that in mind. All right? All right. Now, don't you feel better? Good. Let's go over and talk to Paul from FeedBlitz. On the Skype phone, we have with us Phil Hollows of FeedBlitz, which is feedblitz.com, and this is a service that you can tie in with your podcast. Now, when I first got into podcasting, one of the hardest things that I have describing to people is how to get your podcast, and you start explaining iTunes and RSS feeds and copy and paste, and, you know, grandma just doesn't get that. So, you know, she's like, well, can you email it to me? Well, now you can. You can actually have, for those folks that may be slightly technically challenged, or if they just, you know, they're into email or whatever, that's basically what FeedBlitz does. And you can actually have it the way it works, and we're going to let Phil go into this a little deeper, but I've been playing with it for about a day and a half, And the very cool thing about it is you can have people come out and subscribe, just like they do, like they've been doing for years with email, to a newsletter. And when you then post your podcast or your blog, it automatically emails them that, hey, there's this new entry. They get this little preview of it, of whatever you've typed in there, and they can click on that link and go right to your site and download your podcast or listen to it or take it from wherever they want to at that site. Am I missing anything there, Phil, in terms of other basic idea behind FeedBlitz?
No, I think you've summarized it very well. Thank you. The basic principle, as you said, is that email is a very familiar medium for people to get information electronically. And it really is a way to simplify distribution and updates of your content, whether it's a podcast or an ordinary blog, to get it to people's inboxes. You're pushing that content out. And it does work for grandma, but it also works for a lot of people who live in their email boxes and, you know, want to have those emails archived and sorted however they want to use them. So it's a great way to use a ubiquitous technology to get those updates out on a daily basis. And that's basically what we do, and we provide a lot of capabilities for publishers to track who's reading their content or downloading their podcasts. So we're trying to deliver value to both the supply side and the demand side of the equation.
Gotcha. Now, it is if you want to test drive this, there's a free version, which is what I've been playing with right now, and then there's also a pro version. What is kind of what added features do you get with the pro version?
Well, that's a great question. Most of our users are currently using the standard free service, and what that delivers is an automatic update overnight, and it collects all of your subscriptions into a single digest, if you will. The premium upgrades basically allow publishers to do one of two things. The pro service replaces the free kind of FeedBlitz graphics that go with the email with their own. So you can put your own logo, you can put your ads, if you have them, on your site into the outbound emails. And so it looks and feels however you want, as opposed to however I decide it wants to be on the free service. Publishers can also choose to either speed up or slow down delivery. The default is daily if there is a new entry. And there's a turbo upgrade that says, okay, I want to have this delivered every hour if there are frequent updates, or every 4 hours, or also weekly. I want this to go out every Monday or every Tuesday and things like that. And so it enables the upgrades provide much more control over timing and look and feel beyond the basic free service.
Gotcha. Now, the other thing I thought was pretty interesting is when I first heard of this service, I thought, oh, boy, because I do, you know, multiple podcasts. And as a podcaster, you can actually have one FeedBlitz account, and actually underneath that kind of one umbrella of that account, you can have multiple feeds set up under your account. So you don't have to sign up four times if you have four podcasts. And when you log into what's called the dashboard, you can kind of see, it'll give you like a little green light that your subscriptions are okay and your everything seems to be working well. And you can also very quickly see how many subscribers you have. So you can see how many people you have that are actually using the service and actually go in and see their names and information and that. So it's actually very, very cool. How long has FeedBlitz been around?
Well, thank you. FeedBlitz has been basically functioning since about August of last year. So fairly new onto the scene. But even with that relatively short lifespan, fundamentally the service has become the largest sort of blog to email provider on the net today. And I'm very excited about the number of people who've seen the value we provide and have signed up. The cool thing is also for FeedBlitz is that once you are registered with the site, either as a publisher or as someone who signs up to receive a FeedBlitz feed via mail, users can then subscribe to any blog via FeedBlitz and get daily updates, even if that blog itself does not use FeedBlitz to push out content. So you can basically get your blog roll, if you will, sent to you via email every day if that's what you want to do, even if those publishers aren't using the service. So that's a great asset for readers. And we also integrate with FeedBurner. So if you see your subscribers as a publisher and you say, well, how many of them are accessing my podcast via email as opposed to those who are going directly to the site? If you use FeedBurner to collect those metrics, FeedBlitz shows up there as saying, you have 150 FeedBlitz email subscribers and another 250 coming to you via these other RSS aggregators or down to the website.
Very cool. That's actually where I found out about this service. I was nosing around and seeing what some of the new features were out at FeedBurner, and I'm like, what is this FeedBlitz thing? So that's how I found out about it. And I noticed there's a new feature where it talks about a syndication import using OPML. Now, if somebody's new, can you describe OPML in a 20?
You know, one of the things about Web 2 is how many acronyms and how much jargon there seems to be floating around, which oftentimes tends to confuse and you know, upset people more than actually make things clear. OPML is also called reading list, and basically it's a way to simply move around information about collections of blogs and feeds and podcasts. And what we can now do with FeedBlitz is you can take an OPML file, and there are a number of ways on the net to generate OPML files, and take that reading list, and you can now syndicate it or subscribe to it or import or export it. And what that basically means for those who are starting to make a podcast is that you can sort of have users subscribe, say, to a single OPML feed, and then you can add new podcast streams. Say, for example, you might have one on consumer electronics, and then you might say, well, that's great, now I'm going to have a podcast series on automobiles. And you can basically pull those two different topics together in a single OPML reading list, and then the users who are subscribed to the one will automatically be subscribed to anything you add to that reading list as it grows. So it's a great way to bring in your readership to new content and new categories without having to ask them to subscribe over again.
That's very cool. I like that idea.
I hope that was succinct.
It did. No, it's because I have people that have kind of followed me from one podcast to the other, and they'll say, hey, I really like this one. It'd be nice if I could say, well, look, here, if you like Dave Jackson, just subscribe to this, and anything I put out, you know, you'll automatically get. So that's very cool. I like that idea.
Well, I mean, and the nice thing, Dave, is that once you start to receive them, you can still unsubscribe a la carte. You can say, well, I'm now receiving 5, but I really only want these 3. And you can just jump to the other 2 as a reader. And so you still have all the power and control as a reader of what content ends up in your inbox. But you as a publisher have made life much simpler for them to receive new content and things like that.
Very cool. That was going to be my one worry. I'm like, I've also made it that much easier for them to unsubscribe. So I like the fact that they can kind of pick and choose on their way out the door. Tell us a little bit about the Feed Advisor.
Well, Feed Advisor is a very interesting concept that's still in its relatively early days, but I'm pretty excited about it. Feed Advisor, one of the things, if you look at FeedBlitz, we have about 300,000 individual subscribers right now on the service. And, you know, over 20,000, 30,000, I think, publishers publishing content using it. So one of the interesting things about Feed Advisor is that, well, since we know all this information about who is reading what, isn't it interesting to see how all these subscriptions are related? So Feed Advisor says, if you as a reader are subscribing to feeds A, B, and C, who else is subscribing to feeds A, B, and C? And then, what else are they subscribing to? So if you are subscribing to A, B, and C, Feed Advisor says, okay, let me look and see what other people are subscribing to the same feeds. And then it does a search of the database and it says, huh, well, a lot of people who are following A, B, and C are also following feeds D and E. Would you like to subscribe to those? Because it looks like there's a lot of commonality of interest. So it's a way of mining the subscription database to find new content that is likely to be relevant to you, which you haven't yet found, but your peers have. So it's kind of like a flocking behavior.
Right, or to me that reminds me almost like if you go to Amazon.com and you go to buy a CD, and it's like other people that have bought this CD have also purchased the CD, so that's a very cool idea. I like that.
That's the concept. You know, other people following these publishers are also following this. Please, you know, click. And we're trying to make it as simple as possible to subscribe.
Now, one of the problems, of course, with email sometimes is getting through spam filters and things like that. Is most of that then eliminated because you require a double opt-in to get actually the email sent to you? Does that usually bypass all the problems of spam and such? Or?
Well, deliverability is what it's called in these sort of email biz. And, you know, it's a continual challenge. And so there are a number of things that we put in place to work with ISPs to make sure that as much email gets delivered as possible directly to the inbox and not to the junk folder. We also, the double opt-in and the image verification processes at sign-up are basically there to do two different things, and it seems like a lot of work, but it's very important. We use image verification to make sure that the person making the subscription is in fact a real person and not a machine, because if you don't do that, what happens is the spam bots, as they're called, deliver lots of bogus email addresses in the hope that you might look at them and say, aha, I need more Viagra, or something like that, right? You know, and so that became a real problem in February, and that had to be dealt with. Secondly, then we need to make sure that we're actually delivering to a real email address, because one of the things that is a flag for the ISPs, you know, AOL, Yahoo, and all of the other guys to whom we signed up with to get access to the internet, is a lot of bogus emails going to bogus addresses is typically seen as a symptom for a spammer, right? And we don't spam. End of story. So it really, we need to verify that the emails we're trying to send to are in fact real. And that's that double opt-in process you mentioned. And then finally, we have a number of relationships and technical things that we do that also sort of flag our mail as genuine and make sure that as much of it as possible gets through to the user's inbox. And almost everybody with an email system, whether it's on your desktop or a web service, can what's called whitelist, can put the Feedbits emailer into their address book effectively, that will guarantee to them that that email will get to their inbox and not get hidden in junk. But it's a huge challenge. It's a huge challenge.
Right.
And it doesn't stop, unfortunately.
Now, if just so we don't get people confused, this is the idea here is to convert, you know, an RSS to email. So if somebody's looking for Feedblitz to be just a newsletter, that's not really the service you're offering here, correct?
Well, I mean, very many people use it as a newsletter, because one of the things that, if you think of traditional electronic newsletters, they're a lot of work. Right? You have to use a custom editor. You have to go through various hoops to send the emails out and things like that. So the fundamental concept, technical concept, is you're right, is we're converting RSS feeds to emails, right, and sending them out. But if you replace your newsletter with a blog, or rather using your blog, more accurately, using your blog as a platform by which you create your newsletter, instead of having this big weekly or monthly effort to pull a newsletter together, it actually is almost completely automated for you. And you can send out little mini newsletters once a day, or once every other day, or once every 3 or 4 days, depending on how frequently you write. And it lets you get in touch with your audience lightly but more continuously, and you establish a better relationship with them over the time. So yes, well, absolutely, there are newsletter capabilities here, and actually we're just wrapping up on a set of features to help people analyze click-through tracking. You know, who's clicked on, not who, but what articles are being clicked on most frequently when they go out. And so you can see which topics are more interesting to your audience.
Now, when the message shows up in somebody's inbox, are they getting the whole message, or are they just getting what's called, like in a blog, like in WordPress, there's that excerpt little paragraph? Is that what's showing up, or?
That's a great question. Feedbits fundamentally sends what is in the underlying blog. So if you have, by default, if you have WordPress set to include everything in the RSS feed, then everything is what is sent to via email. Feedbits also offers publishers the ability to truncate the entries to more excerpt-like standards. So you can say, maybe I only want the first 250 characters of the text to be sent. And Feedbits will only put that in, and then the idea being then you can encourage the user to click back to the site where you may have more rich content, or, you know, maybe ads that you want people to click on and things like that. But fundamentally, by default, it includes everything. So if your platform, blogging platform, includes everything in the feed, that's what will go. And it includes links to images and enclosures such as podcasts.
Very cool. Now, we've talked about the free service. How much, if somebody wants to upgrade to the pro version, what's the going rate on that?
Well, the basic upgrade for a single blog or a single podcast to upgrade to custom graphics and things like that is $4.95 a month. And the time warping feature called Turbo is $9.95 per month, all invoiced through credit cards. So it's really easy to set up. It's a fire and forget deal. And there are 2 weeks evaluation period on all of our premium services. So it's a really painless and risk-free way to see if you like what it is that we do. If you are publishing a lot of content across multiple feeds, we also have what we call the Plus services. So there's a Pro Plus, and that's an all. And at that point, you can do as much as you like to as many feeds as you like for just $24.95 a month. So that makes sense if you have more than five different RSS feeds that you want to syndicate through the email and then customize.
Very cool. My wheels are spinning as I'm sitting here thinking of the different uses of this, especially because I do a podcast, but I still have a newsletter. And to me, I just see this as such a great way to transition people into RSS. So eventually, you know, granted, I in my opinion, email's never going to go away. It's just such a way of, I mean, it may in 20 years, but we're just so used to it at this point. It's so engraved into our culture that I can't see it completely going away. But if you're trying to get people to come to your blog or to be subscribed via an RSS or things like that, this is a nice little transitional tool to allow you to do both.
I think it's not the email that disappears. I think actually ultimately it's RSS that has to disappear. And I think one of the beauties of Feedblitz is that there are different people in your audience have different levels of sophistication and will want to consume your content in different ways, right? And so one of those ways may well be email, and for a lot of people it is, because something like less than 10% of U.S. Internet users actually have an RSS aggregator. And so that means 90% of the audience isn't going to get your content unless they happen to drive by your website, okay? So if you're pushing your content out on your website or a blog, which is much the same thing, or to RSS or to email, you have many different ways for people to get to your content and what it is that you are trying to tell them. And I think that's the beauty of it. I think it's not so much a transitional tool as another weapon in your armory of getting the word out.
Absolutely. So if you want to check this out, all you need to do is go out to feedblitz.com. It took me a whole, I don't know, 5 seconds maybe to get my first feed up and running with it. It's simply copy and paste, and here it is. And go in, and if you want to, you can change your password. And at that point, it's super user-friendly. And I definitely thank you for taking the time to come on and talk to us about the service.
Well, thank you, Dave. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your listeners. Thank you very much.
And that is going to do it. Thanks again to Paul from feedblitz.com. If you'd like to see this in action, I've actually got a link now at schoolpodcasting.net. You can go down and click on email notification, and you'll see a form that basically I just copied some code from their site and put it there so you can see that, how it looks. And of course, it's free. Just go to Feedblitz and check it out. So, as always, if you would like to contact me, you can email me, schoolpodcasting@gmail.com. Phone me at 888-563-3228. You can always leave comments out at the schoolpodcasting.net. Now, if you'd like to know more about the School of Podcasting and our hours of tutorials and our hundreds of resources that are made to help a new podcaster get jump-started, as well as someone who's maybe already been podcasting, take it to the next level, simply go out to schoolpodcasting.com. If you'd like to see some examples, sign up for our free newsletter tips full of podcasting tips out of schoolpodcasting.com. That's going to do it for me. I'm your host, Dave Jackson. Thank you very much for coming along. And until we meet again, class dismissed.